Hello, dear heart. Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, beautiful spirits. Today's podcast is with Jamie Mackey from Naku Healing and Creative. I love having these convos with her. I like how they flow and what comes out of our mouths. Sometimes it's prepared, sometimes it's not very prepared. Something I did want to highlight is that today our topic was the challenges in stepping into Māori healing. And had I thought about it more, I probably would have said some of the more generic things which are on the frequently asked questions. But when we tapped in and spoke through Wairua, something that came through really strongly, and I truly do believe this, is that you know on some level the spaces and places you're genuinely meant to be, and you feel that pull. So that's what I like people listening to within themselves. I of course love answering questions. There were some points I was editing and I was like, oh, I sound a little bit hoha with questions. I still really do welcome them. It's Wonderkind's 9th birthday today as I'm recording this, and this topic of challenges really got me thinking when I posted about it. I am proud of 9 years in sharing publicly and really registering everything, combining some of the Western aspects with the Māori space and making a kurawai or a safe creation here for us in Moimoia in Australia. So yeah, celebrating with all of you. I am so truly so grateful with every single person who has woven with me in any way, because it's damn challenging sometimes to share this practice. It's also such a big blessing. I guess one doesn't come without the other. When I think of me who started, I feel like I was overly positive and I don't see that in a bad way at all, but I like the groundedness and the balance of me now. There's a maturity to the energy and what I share and how I share. And yeah, it's just such a different energetic depending on the age I've been and the energy I've held and where my life is set. And it's just been such a beautiful path. And I look forward to exploring 9 more years. Let's dive into some of the challenges and stepping into the space. Cool. So hello everyone, I'm here with Jamie Mackey again from Naku, and we are going to be talking today about challenges in sharing Māori healing. When I tapped into this, it was responding to some of the general queries that I get that people are either unsure about stepping into the practice, or once they start, then maybe have a stop and start relationship with it. And so that was my thought on how we can support people who are stepping into sharing with others, and then but also those who are drawn towards sharing. So yeah, welcome Jay.
Thank you for having me. I'm trying to think back to when I first started sharing, and even I think before I decided to like delve into learning Māori healing, something that came up for me often was I was a bit scared of stepping into the space, like into the spiritual space, because of like growing up with spirituality and seeing certain things and just being like that little bit afraid. But I also feel like it was growing into the confidence of sharing, and that people would actually, I guess, take me seriously working in this space, and that I was actually capable. So it was a lot to do with my self-belief and the stories that I was telling myself about what I was capable of stepping into.
Do you know what like why you weren't sure of your capabilities, or why people wouldn't take you seriously? I'm just wondering.
I think it was me just being afraid of what other people thought. And that was a theme that I was walking with in my life. So I guess that contributed to my lack of self-belief. So it was a matter of building confidence and just stepping into it anyway, and not putting the pressure on myself as to like where it was going to lead. And then over time, really building my confidence through practicing and continuing to practice. And I love in the training how we get to practice on people as well, or throughout our learning process, and get that feedback, and we're able to ask those questions in a safe space, or to practice on each other as well, to provide each other feedback and to build our confidence as well in what we're doing.
Yeah, so agree. And I was just thinking then about, I really admired how you did go through completing your 400 hours, because it was real, almost a surprise when you got 400, because you were so calm and gradual with it. You were like, okay, I'll come to this and I'll do this, and leaned in but didn't do it in a way that stretched you too much, I don't think.
Yeah, I think as well, as someone who was already like running a different business and with kids and things like that, and going through pregnancy and stuff as well, it was just a matter of doing what I was able to and committing what I was able to, but always staying committed as well to sharing and to working with clients. And I think that's something that's come up as well on our monthly calls with practitioners. It's like when we're sort of in and out with it and we lose that confidence and we feel like we have to build it again. For me, I think just staying in it and always being committed to the learning process and not being perfect about it and knowing that I grow with the mahi as well is something that allowed me to hit my 400 hours and do it in a way that just felt really natural for me and not forced. Or
yeah, no, I remember that being a really cool way of doing it. And I often think when others are asking me questions about getting those 400 hours about your process, because I think it's a nourishing way and a healthy way. I wonder, saying that with having kids and the business, but what would you suggest to people or mamas who are like, I don't know if I can do like this training or step into this space?
I think we grow with it for sure, and that it does help if we can be supported so that we can fully drop into the space when we need to, because in motherhood it sometimes brings a different energy to what we need to share healing. So it's really important that we are supported so that we can be fully present as well. And it can look different sometimes. Like I know there are kai mahi and now Akotoro whanui that bring their kids to marae's wananga and sharing in clinics. For me in the learning space, I have brought kids as well, like over the years, especially babies. I've had two babies since my time with Akotoro whanui, so they've come along in the front pack or whatever. But yeah, you just sort of make it work, and like, again, like it's not going to be perfect, but I always feel like you take away and learn what you need to learn, and you just sort of make it work. And for me, it's always worked out.
Yeah, I've always got that image of the two bummers rolling around in our first training that we did. Such a joyful memory, but like projecting me being like, where am I going to focus? There's babies. But I love that about our practice. Something that we do as Akotoro whanui is be real flexible to people's circumstances. So yeah, I always encourage people to ask questions about what their needs, and we can figure something out most of the time. Yeah, I want mamas to know, but at the same time I know other mamas are like, they prefer to learn without everyone there, and there's different things for different energies as well, and it will be individual for each person. The way we learn and explore is flexible in a way to your circumstances, and like the Akotoro whanui at least is like self-paced. There's lots of things in that way that I work very like individually with each person and what they need and the different gaps, and I know we do too with supporting. And we provide, well, when I developed Akotoro whanui, I really had that thought about what I needed as a practitioner and what both what I received, but what I would have needed to have more confidence. So it's sort of got a lot of support. Something I've been thinking about is, before someone starts, this idea of them needing permission to begin. Permission, maybe not the right word, but allowing ourselves to step in and find permission in our own ways, however that is. Is this something you went through, or how do you think about that?
Because I didn't grow up with my Māori family, and I know that I'm just more speaking to Māori and permission, I've never really felt that, and I've had to sort of get to know my ancestors through not knowing a lot about my Māori history. But I haven't personally felt that I've needed permission to do it, but I can relate to those who might have grown up more with Māori culture and being around it, or being around elders and perhaps like a more traditional way with the mahi, and feeling perhaps like they do need that permission.
Don't think it's always about growing up around it. Sometimes it's when you had maybe pockets of exposure and maybe not consistent guidance, or all different things. We have to find our own way with it, but I don't have an answer, but it can definitely be something that stops people from starting who are probably naturally inclined to do this mahi and called to do this mahi as well.
There are definitely things that have come up for me along the way, emotions or beliefs that are keeping me small or from stepping into my full expression of self. Mm. And that still comes up now. It's just an ongoing thing, and you got to feel it and just roll with it and sort of take those small steps anyway. I'm just thinking about my present time and how sometimes I feel quite full of my life, and especially as a mother, like I perhaps don't have the capacity for sharing, or I might just be feeling a bit overwhelmed for whatever reason. And it feels like a bit of a conflicting energy with the energy that I want to step into for healing. But when I sort of lean into my fears and what sits beneath it, it's a bit of unpacking that and realizing that there's this idea that I want to grow in some ways within my business. But then when I get busy sometimes, I also feel like, oh my gosh, and like I get a bit of anxiety. So I'm like, you're calling in this thing, but you're also blocking it by the way that you're feeling and what you're believing or framing with the emotions that you're feeling.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I've definitely experienced that too. I also grapple with the different parts of me and what I want in different areas, and sometimes upholding this mahi can be challenging to other aspects of me and take energy from those spaces too. Mm-hmm. And it's like trying to figure out those nuances of how I want to authentically share it in a way that honours our culture but also honours my reality in my life. So I really relate to that. But I was just thinking when you were saying that, I remember when I was sharing more sessions 101 being like so overwhelmed, like, what have I done? Like, because I would book a lot of clients, you know, when I was in my summer on my cycle and really energetic and like, I can do this. And then like I get more towards the end, I'm like, oh no.
It's interesting as well as how the wider flow weaves with it too, eh? And how, you know, sometimes if we're feeling a bit full, a few things might shuffle around to offer a bit of space.
Yeah, too. It takes time to build that trust in that, though, way.
Absolutely.
Maybe for those who have started the training but are still a bit not sure about what they know, or started doing learning in other spaces, wherever that might be, as a practitioner, but are still wanting some confidence to step in.
Two main things that come to mind. One is that they feel like they don't know enough, or they don't know how to share Rumirumi and Mirimiri like correctly. They feel as though they need to continue to acquire knowledge or just keep learning things, because I'll never be fully prepared to be able to share. And that's really not like where this mahi comes from. Like, it partly is, but it's also like very intuitive as well, and some things you can't teach, it's through practicing. So that's one. And the other, I think, is people worrying about how they'll be perceived by others, like judgment. So they feel a bit afraid to like share what they're doing and share their insights because they're afraid of feedback that they'll come up against, and it'll kind of knock their confidence if somebody says something. And
I've faced all of those things too.
Yeah.
You know, when I've been doing something that in my head is against the archetype of what we're doing, and but then I realize that's more of a something inside of me that I've taken on as that's a truth. And when I break it down, I'm like, oh no, of course people want me to be genuine in myself and share how I see it, not how I think I have to say it. I've found that over time I started to trust more and more what to say to different people about our practice. Because you're right, it doesn't have an explanation really, and it is so different for each person. And there's no correct, air quotes for those who are listening, correct way to speak about it really. It is really individual, both for the person receiving but also us as practitioners.
Has there been anything that's come up from like people interested in Wānanga that we haven't covered?
When people are grappling with it, to step into the space or take a training or learn from a teacher, trust yourself and do some of that inner work about why you may be inning and outing with it, like what's sitting there. Like, I really truly believe the training for me is about if it's for you, it's for you, and if it's not, it might not be, and trust that and know that. Yeah,
because it's a feeling for the person.
For me, I don't view Rumirumi as something I'm going to convince anyone about. Like, you, being the same with, like, as being a receiver, a client, or a practitioner. Like, you either want to receive a session or you want to learn it. Like, that's it. I'm not going to convince anyone. Those questions often are, like, questions within you about your own path. They're not questions that I can answer sometimes. And I also think that the training can be for your own healing. It doesn't always have to be to be a practitioner, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people can get caught up in the energy of those, because just about from every intake there's someone who's like gung-ho and they just go hardcore, and the supports are there for them to do that. But then there's absolutely nothing wrong with taking years and years or not, or still being a practitioner but not doing your hours. People do that too. There's no right way to be in this space. It's just like what suits you and what aligns with you.
Just like what you shared then with the 2-day warning is how it is, like, first for your personal growth and getting that feel, and then it's like from there going into or stepping into it however you want to, or whether that's the experience and then it's your personal journey rather than like a practitioner route.
Yeah, that's how I view it very much. Like the 2-day warning is like experiential and tasters, but those hours do go towards your practitioner hours if you choose to go that route. You may not know until you do that actually how you may have always thought you want to do it, and then, or like I grew up when my nan would say, oh, that you'll be doing midi, I was like, I hate touching bodies, I don't want to touch bodies. Now I love it, but like when I was growing up, I was like, I can't see that happening. That just, I couldn't, literally couldn't see it. It wasn't a reality for me. Like, whatever, however, why do I guide me to this path? Yeah, so we some lots of things we don't know why we're in the space and why we're in the place, or why we're being guided to connect with different soul groups or different people.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, hon. Thank you.